Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You do you, Graham.
Welcome back to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some topics just need discussing. I'm Damien.
I'm Handsome Tom.
I'm Gabe.
And this week we're looking at toxic fandoms.
Not like fans. Express fans who are expressly fans and only fans of Britney Spears' song Toxic and nothing else.
Fans
no other music,
fans
no other song.
Who are just fans of toxic waste in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just big barrels of toxic
waste.
Or
the Pokemon move Toxic, which heavily poisons the foe.
I love that you got a Pokemon reference in there straight
I'm impressed too.
It's a gift.
I'm impressed to how Gabe's like, fuck you, Tom.
See, he's just like, oh, here we go. Another one of these long drawn out preambles that we're all going to have to go along with. Yay.
That's why I'm here, mate.
I love you.
Oh, thanks.
All right, so let's get into this. So first of all, let's define this concept that we're talking about. Like, what are we talking about when we say a toxic fandom?
Well, I think we're specifically, I mean, the reason for this episode is the Rick and Morty thing.
Exactly right.
I guess there's a point at which probably any fandom can become toxic when people are just that little bit too obsessed. And I think maybe a better term for it than toxic fandom is maybe fan entitlement. Because, I mean, obviously the whole thing, for those who don't know, and I can't imagine listening to this podcast if you don't, is that McDonald's brought back the Szechuan sauce, which was a one-line joke in Rick and Morty. In one episode, they brought the sauce back for a day. You could get it at certain locations. Rick and Morty fans turned up in droves.
To be fair, too, this actually had no actual tie-in with Rick and Morty whatsoever.
This is McDonald's trying to cash in.
This is literally McDonald's just being like, this is just capitalism at work. It's just McDonald's being like, we can make money from dickheads.
Yeah.
And they succeeded.
And they
people turned up. But then you see videos online, like apparently the Rick and Morty fans just like essentially trashed these McDonald's. There's this one video I saw of this one complete fuck knuckle jumping up on the counter at McDonald's, jumping up and down, screaming over and over again, I'm Pickle Rick, where's my, I want my Szechuan sauce. And then lying on the ground, rolling around, just screaming, I'm Pickle Rick, and getting in everyone's way.
God, that's embarrassing.
And then you stop and you think, oh yeah, wait, what is it that all the Rick and Morty fans say? Rick and Morty's for smart people.
Yes.
You don't get Rick and Morty.
Yes.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You fucking knob jockey, brainless, turnip head, wore a scrotum fuckwit that you're going to turn up and act like that towards somebody.
Right.
Like, okay. I mean, like the biggest rule is like, I think the biggest rule for life in general is just don't be a cunt to people.
Right.
Like,
it's that easy.
It's like these people are just doing their jobs. You've got people at McDonald's sitting there doing their jobs, trying to serve people. You've got other customers who are there just to get their Big Mac and don't give a shit about your fucking Szechuan sauce. And you're turning up being like, because I'm an entitled fuckwit fan who thinks that because I like this thing a lot and somehow that makes
like
me better
than
you.
I like it more than other people because I am the best fan. No one else likes it more than me. You shouldn't watch it. You don't get it. It's too too highbrow for you.
Is there somebody you're suggestively impersonating right now?
No. No, but it even goes back further to Rick and Morty is a good example, but it exists in
Hang on, wait, can I just quickly clarify something? When I said that before and you guys both sort of giggled, I wasn't referring to myself. I was referring to Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, so,
oh,
yeah, no, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thinking, wait. Did you think I was referring to what?
You're like,
how you
wait,
people
that's
me?
Your opinion? Yeah, you know, we think Gabe, you're the Donald Trump of movie, man.
Oh, wow. Nobody hates Rogue One more than me. I hate Rogue One the most.
Yeah, but no, but that's it. It's that. It's that. And like, full disclosure, we are fans. Like, yeah, we are hardcore fans of franchises.
And you even look at the word fan, it means fanatic. It literally is like absolutely. This over-obsession with something.
And there's nothing wrong with being a fan of something. It's where you get to that point where your enjoyment of something ruins the enjoyment for somebody else. Or it's detrimental to someone else's enjoyment. With the Rick and Morty thing, even before the Szechuan sauce incident, goes back to when Dan Harmon hired a whole bunch of female writers to his writing staff because someone pointed out a lot of the writers are male in that writing room. And he went, yep, you're absolutely fucking right. I need to change this. It's 2017.
Right.
They hired female writers, and the same group of dickheads who rolled around pretending to be Pickle Rick at McDonald's complained that they, A, wouldn't understand the show, and B, wouldn't understand the complex male characters.
Go on the record right now and just throw this out there for anybody who's listening who might fall into that subset of Rick and Morty fans who didn't like the fact that you had female writers on your boy show and thought that you could turn up and be a fuckwit about Szechuan sauce. You're a dipshit. No, more than that, I'm going to say this in the most clear terms I possibly can. If you are one of those people, you are a bad person.
Yes.
Yep.
100%.
Yep. Yes. Hopefully you will listen to the rest of this episode and learn that you can be a better person and keep listening. And if you can't, don't listen to us anymore.
Right.
Do we think, though, that this might come down to a sense of fan entitlement?
Oh,
because,
no doubt.
I mean, there is, and it's fascinating when you kind of look at fandoms, particularly nowadays when so many cult franchises and things are kind of coming out, and fans are complaining about the fact that something's not the way they want it to be, or something's not that, or we want more of this, or we want more of this. I mean, in our very limited way, with
there's a black guy and a woman in prominent roles in our Star Wars film. Fuck you, liberals.
Well, my dad in particular, he's a big Star Trek fan, and he got really pissed off the new Star Trek series for saying fuck in an episode.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, that's not what Star Trek is. That's not Star Trek. And I was like, well, it's a very different Star Trek to when you liked Star Trek in the early 90s.
But
like,
see, that's a valid criticism.
Yeah.
If you can, and again, just to be on the record, we are a show that literally talks about how much we love things and complains and people fuck it up. But we don't try to do it from a perspective. And if we ever dip into it, we apologize if anyone's ever thought we've done that. But we don't try to dip into an area where we're complaining about things that they're ours. They're not ours.
Right.
If something is not good because it's bad, because I think it's bad, I'm going to tell you my version of it because that's my opinion on it. But I'm not going to not let you enjoy that thing. And I think your dad saying that fucking Star Trek ruins, take something away from Star Trek for him, is completely different than people being like, there's a gay character in Star Trek, I'm never watching, this is SJWs at work. Yeah. It's like, well, no, your dad's complaint is maybe that he never liked, it was never about the swearing, he feels weird that they're swearing now,
but
he's not having a go at the people involved in the show necessarily.
No, of course
not. It's not alienating.
Of course not. And
that's a big important difference.
Imperative. You can, because like, it's totally fair game to criticize an artwork.
Yes.
But when you make it personal about the artist, that's when I think it goes too far.
Yep. Or alienate other people.
But also
at
the same time, becoming, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess the Rick and Morty thing is kind of a reflection of fans who basically think that something should be just the way they want it to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, or like, it starts with that and then it kind of extends to the point where it's like, I am so into this that I'm entitled to turn up and be a fuckwit about this or this or this or this. But you also see it like with fan criticisms of all kinds of properties where it's like a new installment will come out and they'll be like, oh, that's not how it's meant to be. That's not like it was in this. That's not like it was in this. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ghostbusters is a great
Who gives
example.
That much of a fuck about Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Nobody did before it was all
literally,
there.
If they're complaining about, oh, it's going to shit over the legacy of the other Ghostbusters, every single actor from the previous Ghostbusters was in the remake Ghostbusters, which wasn't a great film.
They all
but
endorsed
it. Was fine.
It was
I had
fine.
A good time.
Yeah.
Like, it's bizarre. It's that thing where people want new stuff. And to be completely honest, the toxic fandoms and the fans that we're talking about, 9.9 times out of 10 are men.
Yes.
You will rarely hear a female voice being like, oh, I didn't like the fact that they made Rey a Jedi. That's a bit shit. Like, it's usually men who are, let's be honest, we're all straight, middle-class, white men. We are used to seeing a lot of representation of our demographic in films and literature. There are people out there who, when they're confronted with something that isn't straight, white, heterosexual men, freak the fuck out, and apparently it's sacrilege, and it's the worst thing ever, and all of that nonsense.
And what I think is interesting, I think the root cause of that is that they feel like their identities are threatened. As if other people like the thing they like, then, well, who I am, because I really love Ghostbusters. So if someone else likes Ghostbusters, fuck them, because then all of a sudden I'm not the me I thought I was. I'm not as unique as I thought I was. As well as, if I don't see myself reflected back at me, then I'm going to get upset because why does someone else get to say center stage? Despite the fact there's all these communities that have never seen their reflection in their media that way.
It's like when that trailer, that first trailer came out and poster came out for Black Panther and you had a community on Twitter and a group of people on Twitter and on the internet go, this is so incredible. I'm finally seeing representation of myself. Be fucking happy for them.
Yes.
We've had enough white guys who are heroes. Calm the fuck down. There is still a great representation of white men in films and TV and books. But on that thing you touched on about what happens if the thing that I like someone else starts liking as well. It's that same thing of my least favorite people on the planet are dickheads who like a band until they're played on a mainstream radio station.
And it's like, popular. No,
you should be happy that your crappy indie band that is now doing really fucking well for themselves has achieved, you know, great success. Yes. Oh, no, they sold out. That's the kind of the point.
That's the goal, mate.
Is for them to be successful enough so that other people, and also, you don't get the right to dictate if other people can enjoy something or not.
No, absolutely not.
So isn't it better if more people are listening to the music you listen to? That means your community is bigger. No.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we're getting angry in this episode really early because it's something that I guess we see a bit because we do spend so much time in sort of fan revered stuff and cult status stuff.
Well, there is this. I mean, there is something that definitely I think we sort of experience, I guess, in our small way here. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know for a fact that, like, I always get, I've had moments of, like, getting really, really anxious when I see on, like, the Sans Fans Reddit or something, fans being like, oh, I wish Movie Maintenance went back to doing more of this or more of this or more of this or more of this. And then my first instinct is, okay, cool, we got to do that then. We got to please people. Then it's like, well, no, because at a certain point, you can't just go with the wind of what people, what everybody says they want because, and so many people are far more successful than any of us. So people don't know what they want.
I don't know what I want.
I don't know what I want until I see it. And I'm like, oh, that was like Whiplash. Right. If somebody had ever told me, you know what you want, you know what one of your favorite movies is going to be, a movie about jazz drumming, I'd be like, fuck off, you don't know me. And then I saw that film and I was like, oh, I didn't know how much I needed a psychological thriller about jazz drumming until I saw it.
Right.
Because we all, I guess, veer towards our comfort zones and veer towards what we think we want from things. And it's like with Star Wars at the moment. You see, you know, everyone's like, oh, Force Awakens is so good. And oh, you know, Rogue One is so good because it had that thing that reminded me of that thing in the other Star Wars film and it all of this. And it's like, yeah, but all you're seeing is retreads of stuff that you've already experienced before. If Star Wars wants to actually endure, grow and change, you're going to have to throw something new in there and take a risk.
Right.
Because of course, you're Disney, you're focus group led, you're going to listen to the fans who say they want this. And yeah, Disney are masterful at giving fans what they want.
Yes.
But I swear to God, if they keep going down this track, and I don't know if they will, I don't know what Last Jedi is going to be like or Han Solo or whatever, but if they keep going down this track of just giving people what they want, people are going to get bored of that because we've seen it all before.
Right.
And so you need to just throw something in there that people don't want, that people aren't asking for, because when the first Star Wars came out, nobody was saying, oh, I want this weird space opera kind of based on Japanese classic black and white films. Nobody was saying, I really, really want that. When George Lucas made that, people were like, that film's going to bomb.
And a green frog guy and like a giant dog bear. Who only talks like, that. Give me that.
Yeah, give me that. And then they brought out and everyone's like, holy fuck, I didn't know how much I wanted that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's it. You need to sort of, risks need to be taken. And we just, I think fans who are so, and nowadays in the age of social media and things like that, fans are so vocal and so insistent. And I do think this comes from that place of entitlement.
It's a double-edged sword where in one way they're able to engage with the creators of the things they like more readily, but at the same time they're able to criticize them and
demand,
and it's like, I mean,
legitimize their sometimes absurdity.
Right.
I'm perpetually fascinated by sort of the growing, because it's still very much in flux how people view the Star Wars prequels, because you do notice over the years there is a slight shift in how they're perceived. It's gone from they're the worst thing ever, that's it, to like nowadays you do get some people coming out and like writing quite intelligence in depth sort of reappraisals that say, yeah, they're heavily flawed, but we're ignoring all the things they did right.
Yes.
And this is a
fairly decent film.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, and the fact is you look at Star Wars prequels and you think, yeah, like George Lucas did something different. He innovated. That was what he did in the first place. That was how you got the first Star Wars. But fans are like, no, that's not my Star Wars. That's not what I wanted from it, and stuff like that. And that was probably the start of, you know, really outraged fans coming out and using the internet to propagate what they had to say.
Yes.
And the response to that is that the Star Wars franchise has gone back to something very safe.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, you don't get anything new.
In a weird way, they've gone safe narratively, but they've taken more risks casting-wise. Yeah. Like, you look at the cast of Rogue One. There's one white main character. You've got a Hispanic actor. You've got two Asian actors. Mm. You look at Force Awakens. The three main trio are a woman, a black guy, and an Egyptian, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Oscar Isaac, I apologize. Yeah. You're a lovely, beautiful, beautiful fucking man.
What's that great thing that came out like in the Last Jedi trailer? I saw that somebody tweeted this thing where it was the bit where he goes, "We are the spark that will light the fire that will burn the first order to the ground." And somebody tweeted being like, "To my wife, sorry, I'm gay now." That's like, well, that's, yeah, I mean, fair enough.
Oscar Isaac delivers something that beautiful. Yeah,
yeah,
that's fair.
But no, I do agree with you, Tom, but at the same time, like, I think,
we want them to take more risks on the narrative side.
Yeah,
well.
And so because I look at that and do I go, both. Yeah, awesome, do that. But I don't see that as a risk. I see that as a risk to a loud and vocal subset of shit fuckwits who are like, "Oh, I'm like that because I don't want to not be white people." And those people are fuckwits anyway. There is no intelligent person in the world who doesn't look at those people and say, "You're idiots, shut the fuck up."
Right.
Just because they're loud, just because they're vocal doesn't make them that enormous.
To cater to them in the first place would be a severe wrong.
And it's, here's the thing, like with the whole, this kind of works on several different levels with casting and with sort of taking the risks that the prequels took that didn't pay off and things like that. Yeah, okay, they were fuck ups. Mm. Like the prequels that they made, fuck ups and things like that. And yeah, this is different to what you originally wanted, but hey, you still have the originals.
Yeah, they haven't gone anywhere.
You've still got the thing you loved in the first place.
Delete. On Empire Strikes Back.
Exactly.
No, you can't watch that anymore.
And no. I don't know about you, but like I would so much rather see the franchises and the properties I love veer off into interesting directions that annoy me and that I maybe don't like than I would see them just give me the same stuff again and again and again and again, because always I would rather something that is an interesting failure than a boring success.
Yeah. It's like we've talked about with Fox and their take on X-Men. They've had some great movies and they've had some garbage movies. But the great movies where they took a risk and did something different easily makes up for the ones that haven't been great.
Like X-Men Apocalypse was probably one of the worst films I saw last year.
Sure.
Yep. But then Logan came out and I'm like, fuck yeah, give me more Fox Marvel films.
And even Deadpool in terms of its something. Let's just do an R-rated superhero film.
Yes.
Like
just lean into that. And Suicide Squad's like, yeah, we could do that. No, you can't, guys.
Yeah.
You need a story.
And that's the thing. But for these bigger fandoms, there's more repercussions, I guess, again, from arguable idiots, but it's there if they do take these risks.
It kind of ties in, this is a weird dovetail, but I think it will, detour. I think it'll take us back to the point of toxic fandoms and that entitled fan thing, is that there's this weird thing that people seem to have these days, and it does my head in, where they assume that because free speech exists, every opinion must be heard equally and be treated with the same level of merit. And that's not the case at all. Free speech means you can have an opinion.
Yeah.
But that also means that if your opinion is fucking bullshit or is just like gutter trash opinion, everyone else can tell you it's gutter trash and you don't get to have the same opportunities to voice that opinion.
You're allowed to voice it, but you're not free from the consequences of voicing.
Absolutely. You're not free from the consequences, and you also might not be given the same platform. So if your literal opinion is that there are some races better than other races, that is a shit opinion. Mm. You're not going to get the same platform as someone whose opinion is that, you know, Lord of the Rings is the greatest trilogy of all time.
Like there is a fundamental irony to the argument of anybody who's like, "Oh, you're criticizing what I have to say, you know, free speech, free speech." You're actually compromising free speech by not letting somebody criticize
exactly
you.
Exactly right.
Like,
yes.
I would, you're allowed to say whatever opinion you want, just like I'm allowed to tell you you're a fuckwit.
Right. So you're immediately being a hypocrite.
And it's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, did I make a good point and tell you why you're wrong?" And now you're like, "Oh, you're compromising my right for free speech."
Furthermore, if your opinion is detrimental to anyone's well-being, then it's someone else's right to absolutely not allow you to use any platform to share that opinion.
Exactly right.
So I guess that ties into that as social media grows, fans grow that sense of entitlement. It's wrapped up in that I have an opinion. So you get people being like, when they did the Wonder Woman screenings and they did women only screenings of Wonder Woman, and all these guys were like, "Oh, that's bullshit." It's like, that's one cinema, it's one screening on one night.
Yep.
The movie is being released at the same time everywhere. It's not a preview. It is the same. It's like a Thursday. It's like a Friday night. The movie comes out on like fucking Wednesday, right?
Right.
You could see that movie 100 times at 500 other cinemas before you'd miss out on that Friday night cinema.
Yes.
But dickheads had to be like, oh, nah, that's just, you know, pandering to like minorities and it's that liberal agenda. It's like, no. Oh, so there are women like, who just wanted to enjoy Wonder Woman without you.
Yes.
Yeah,
without,
right?
Almost specifically you complaining about
it. Yes. I was fucking watching in fucking someone's backyard in a pool, mate.
And also on top of that, like when all is said and done, like the whole, oh, there's a woman-only screening of Wonder Woman over here, but a screen that anybody can come to over here. Why do you care?
Yeah.
Why do you care
but
so much?
That's the thing. They're so entitled and so had everything handed to them. They see one tiny space that they're not allowed to have and they have to have it now.
Yeah.
And it's like ridiculous.
Again, the flip side of that is that there are so many instances where people from the outside have not been able to enjoy the things that you enjoy.
Yeah, but they kind of blindly can't see that.
There was a great article that I think I might have shared with you, Gabe. And maybe also
You shared it with us. Yeah,
but it was that article talking about how for so long we're in that age of the geek, that kind of all the nerd, all the properties that people grew up loving, which back in the day you loved in secret because you'd get punched in the face for, are now mainstream. Mm. And there are a lot of toxic ideas from certain groups who had to keep their enjoyment secret, who suddenly have freaked out that it's a mainstream thing. And look. I get that there is that thing of like, I read this comic and I loved it and people picked on me and now it's popular and everyone's watching it. It is a bit of an adjustment, but
it's also validation.
Yes, you were right.
Yeah.
It is a good thing.
Exactly.
It is a cool story.
Right.
You were right, dude.
Yeah.
Let other people join you on this fucking adventure.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, I mean, like when all is said and done, I think one thing that people do need to understand is that like if there is something that is a bit niche and it means a hell of a lot to you because, you know, I mean, they talk about like comic book nerds in the 80s who were getting picked on everything. They read Spider-Man comics and you see basically somebody who is nerdy, who is quiet, who, I mean, of course, who goes off and becomes a superhero. Of course, that's going to have an enormous amount of appeal. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, so that's your enjoyment of that isn't something that's private to you. Like a lot of people are enjoying this. And the fact of it is, what this means to you is going to be wildly different to what it means for someone else.
Exactly.
Your personal relationship with this property is not compromised by somebody else's very different relationship with this property.
Correct. That's fucking it in
that's
a
great.
Nutshell.
And it's not compromised. It's also not diluted.
No, not at all. Not at all. Because here's the thing. What you get out of a property, what you watch a certain movie and take away from it, is probably also not what the creator necessarily intended.
Exactly.
It's just because literally every piece of art to a certain degree is a Rorschach test that is put up and that you will, whenever you are drawn to a certain piece of art, it's because you see something of yourself in there that you connect to. Usually that's the case.
Yeah.
And even on a subconscious level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And other people will see something different. They might see the same thing and maybe you share that, but other people will probably be drawn to something different in there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So, I mean, like, I don't know, like, just as a Hannibal fan, I love the psychology of it. I love the whole idea of sort of pained human beings desperately trying to find ways to connect with each other and basically doing it in the most roundabout, terrible, fucked up ways. I love the Machiavellian stuff. And there's so much in that series that I just love and find beautiful and compelling and magical. And I also know that, like, most of the Hannibal fandom love very different things. They love shipping Hannibal Lecter and Will Graham, which I'm not all that into.
Yeah.
But, like, whatever. That's their enjoyment. This is my enjoyment. Yeah, but that's okay. Like, that doesn't change. That
not a
view of
way
it doesn't.
Enjoy things
exactly.
As long as your enjoyment, again, does not lead to the detriment of someone else's enjoyment. And
exactly.
I don't mean, oh, that girl in that costume, she doesn't even know Star Wars. What I mean is that it's the reverse. It's that girl in that costume who you're picking on, there's the detriment. It's not the detriment of your, because your enjoyment isn't going to change who likes it or who doesn't like it. Or if someone gets the name of a Sith Lord wrong, or the name of a, like, I fuck up characters' names constantly.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't like things. It just means I have a shit memory for characters' names sometimes.
Well, so coming into this sort of idea of, I guess, different people getting different things out of properties and everything, and I do want to use this to actually talk into as a platform to discuss this a bit further, an experience that we all had last year. Just because, like, I know that we all, when you were really passionate about something, you are personal. It is a personal thing to you.
Sure.
And when something means a hell of a lot to you, that is a personal thing. And I do understand inclination when somebody else shits on that to kind of have a go at them and get upset at them and whatever and stuff like that. Like, I found, you know, there tended to be this thing that happened to me a lot last year on Twitter when, like, anytime I would criticize something on Movie Maintenance that somebody really liked a hell of a lot, people would tweet me and be like, well, I didn't like Hannibal, or Hannibal sucked. I'm like, that's okay. You're allowed to not like Hannibal.
Right.
Just like you're allowed to like Rogue One. Like, I don't think any less of, like, Tom, I don't think any less of you for liking Rogue One.
No, you think less of me for a whole bunch of other
reasons. Exactly.
Reading,
so. I think less of you because you're a rotting husk of a useless human being. But, like, you're liking Rogue One is the most-
I'm ready to go.
Your liking of Rogue One is literally the most- minimal of the shit things about your character.
Right.
But what I mean to say is, like, it, and there is this other thing with toxic fandoms, which I think is really worth discussing, which is this tendency to attack people who don't like the things that we like. Now, the experience I was referring to is when last year
Suicide Squad?
What happened for those who aren't on Twitter and aren't aware of this beautiful moment that happened last year that really, really illustrated the maturity of the entire Movie Maintenance cast. So I think the way it started was that
Zammit participated as well.
And he's... Believe it or not, he's the most mature person in Sandspan. So I'm just saying, if he did it, then the rest of us are okay with it.
The bar's pretty low.
Do you know what I do like, though, is out of all of that, the one person who at the end of it was like, you shouldn't have done that, was Dusha.
Right?
He was like, what? I was going to tell you guys it was a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Like, where were you 3 days ago?
Just to contextualize for those who aren't aware. So I think the way it started was that it was last year when that story came out that Michael Shannon fell asleep during Batman vs. Superman. And so I tweeted that being like, haha, Batman, like something along the line, a lot wittier than this, I'm sure, because I spend a lot of time on my tweets. But it was something like along the lines of haha, Batman vs. Superman sucked because this.
Yeah.
And
do you know what? It was probably exactly that.
You know what? You're probably not wrong, but anyway. And what happened was that obviously some DC fan, because it turns out there's this intense community of DC fans on Twitter, somebody had done that thing where they had searched on Twitter for Batman vs. Superman and then literally found anybody giving it hate because I hadn't hashtagged it, hadn't tagged anyone in it, hadn't done anything like that. And somebody basically found it and had a go at me or retweeted me and had a go at me, which led to all these other DC fans kind of ripping into me. And suddenly it was like they were coming from all angles. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then I did the stupidest thing you can possibly do in these situations and I engaged.
Yeah.
And then Tom engaged and then Sean engaged and Sean got banned from Twitter for 2 days for calling a DC fanboy a cunt. And then Zammit engaged. And then this just went on for four days.
Insane.
And every time we thought it would end, and there was just this one guy who everything he tweeted at us was a gif of Jared Leto's Joker. And it was like everything
he would say something and then he'd back it up with a gif of the of Leto and it had no necessarily a tie-in to what he was saying.
Right.
And then he'd repeat gifs.
Yes. And the things that he was saying were always uniformly so kind of smug and incoherent and just talking about how we were idiots. He called
film
me
hack fraud.
Film hack fraud. I was called so many times, like so many fucking times with this guy. And it got to the point where I was like, fuck, I've never hated a face as much as I hate Jared Leto's Joker, which because of this, I just associated with this fuckwit.
Though, Gabe, you were justified in hating Jared Leto as the Joker. Because then the movie came out and everyone went, oh yeah, nah, he's shit.
Yeah.
But see, again, and that's the thing is that the DC franchise seems to have a large grouping of this, like where we went, we didn't like Batman versus Superman. a lot of people didn't like Batman versus Superman.
Right.
But that's fine.
But do you think it's people being on the defensive and being like, because they're so targeted? Mm. But the thing is, and this is the impression I got, and I could be wrong, because again, I really want to stipulate here. I don't know. These are just faceless people on Twitter. And by faceless, their face on Twitter were Jared Leto's Joker.
They searched for a fight.
Yes. They searched for a fight, but like everything they said, like this
and
guy
we
just,
shouldn't have engaged.
We shouldn't have engaged.
We are adults.
But the thing is, my whole approach through all of this was that with all of them, I just said to them again and again and again, because this has kind of become my defense mechanism anytime somebody calls me a cunt for not liking Rogue One or whatever on Twitter. I'm like, that's cool, man. We just have different opinions. That's fine. Yes. I don't think any less of you because we have a different opinion. And I kept saying that and they just couldn't grasp it. I was just being like, I don't want to fight with you. I just disagree with you, but that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make me
a bad
person.
It doesn't make either of us right
and
or
they
wrong.
And then he would just get to the point where he would like send me these huge scholarly hour-long YouTube videos explaining why Batman vs. Superman was a metaphor for Arthurian legend, which, by the way, doesn't make it good at all, because if it doesn't mean anything, there's no like weight to that subtext.
Yes.
And I just kept getting these from this person. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to retroactively watch this video and be like, oh, that 2.5 hour experience I had in the cinema that made me want to cut myself is now made retroactively better
by these
the fact that it's got some meaningless subtext. Like none of that doesn't improve the shoddy craftsmanship of that film. But hey, that's okay. That's my opinion. Hmm. Yours is different. And these people just could not seem to grasp the fact that it's okay to disagree with someone.
Yes, exactly.
It's actually the flip side
of that toxic fandom. It's the you've got one hand, you've got the people who are like, no, don't change it. Don't you dare include other people in my fandom. I own this. I'm better than you. Then you have the flip side of how dare you attack this? You're an idiot. You don't fucking know what you're talking about.
If you don't like it, you're a bad person.
If you don't like it, you're a bad person.
Which are honestly just as bad as each other.
Two sides of the same coin. Damo,
we're in sync, mate. Well, that pretty much brings me to my next question, which is how much do you think the internet has contributed to this issue?
So much.
100%.
Like, so much.
So much.
If you don't have the internet, well, you do have this issue, but it's probably kept out of – in one respect, you don't have this issue because it's probably kept out of the public sphere because it's in private. But on the same time, the good thing about having the internet means that you do have the issue in the public sphere, so people start talking about it. And people start going, no, you can't – you know, I read stories on Twitter of particularly women or other people at like conventions or opening releases for things who are criticized or quizzed on their level of appreciation for something. It's like, hang on, if the only reason I watch Harry Potter is because, fuck it, I like Gary Oldman, that is enough of a reason for me to watch Harry
More
Potter.
Than fine.
Yeah. If I watch Game of Thrones because I'm like, Kit Harington is fucking dreamy, and he is. If that's the reason that I watch that, that's fine. You don't need to quiz me on the lore and backstories of Game of Thrones to prove if I'm a real fan.
Yes.
It's that idea of fake fans is really dumb.
It's just shit.
It's a non-existent idea.
Who would put that much effort into watching a fucking 6-part fucking show?
Right.
It's 10 fucking hours to pretend to like, for what benefit?
Yes.
So I can wear a costume with a bunch of fuckheads.
Right.
So dumb. Anyway, my pitch got higher.
Yeah, I think it's just this weird idea of like the way I enjoy something has to be the same as somebody else or the way you enjoy something is wrong. Like, fuck off, man. Like, it's a big diverse world. Everybody's different. Everybody's allowed to like take what they want out of something and that's okay. Like,
we still do this podcast despite the fact that I liked Rogue One.
Yeah.
Like, no one's ever been like, nah, Tom, you can't actually be on the show anymore.
Right. If you lose a friend because you have different opinions about a movie, you're a garbage human being.
Yeah.
Oh, unless they're the garbage human. Like, if a friend leaves you because...
Mind you, I did very near... I like, legitimately very nearly stopped talking to Carney after he didn't like Lion King 2. Like, that was actually a really,
that
really
was
rough
line.
Couple of days there for me.
I was
more hung up on that than I should have been.
That was a weird line to draw.
So, you know, I mean, I guess...
I'm going to die on the hill for Lion King 2.
I guess the moral of the story is that none of us are perfect and maybe we're all just...
That's right. But you eventually remembered, oh no, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and that's fine.
Except definitely Carney. How I felt with... Yeah. Carney the Lion King 2, I'm still not sure about that. I'm totally fine with it.
But back to the point about the internet is that the downside of it is that it gives a legitimate platform for people whose views are awful and who in traditional media probably wouldn't get a go.
So what was the first online fan site? Ooh. Or the first major prominent one that people knew about? Ain't It Cool News, right?
Right.
Late 90s. What came out in the late 90s? Star Wars Episode 1.
Yeah.
That was how it started.
Right.
Yep. Star Wars Episode 1 was the beginning of... The Star Wars prequels are the beginning of internet fandom and internet backlash.
Yes.
And the fact that, now we can actually, instead of like, you know, enjoying this thing in the privacy of my own room and, like, you know, not telling other people at school about it. It's like, no, now you've got a community online of people who are just as vocal and passionate as you. Yes.
And that's, on one hand, that's a great thing. Yeah. It means that there are people out there. So I could talk to a dude in South Africa who enjoys Rogue One as much as me.
Yeah. Right. do you?
Yeah, his name's Justin from South Africa. Good to see you. I really like Rogue One.
That's a Kiwi accent, mate.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, because I've never actually been somebody who's, like, been, apart from, like, since we've done the podcast, we've all had, like, been on Twitter and stuff like that, and Reddit and everything. Like, I've never been somebody who was, like, mega engaged with online fandoms and forums and everything, except.
Oh, here we go. It's going to be something really good, isn't it?
It's story time.
Oh, what?
Except for forum? The Saw franchise in the 2000s. Yeah. So I remember, like.
Did you post, like, fan theories and shit? Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, yes. That's so good.
So when I watched the first Saw, I think, when did Saw come out? 2004? So I watched the first one, like, maybe 2005, and then the second one on DVD when it came out. And my dad and I were both really into them. And then we went and saw Saw 3 together. Now, for those who know the Saw franchise, 3 is kind of when it turned into torture porn. And, like, before that, they were just kind of well-made psychological thrillers that were a bit grimy and gritty. 3 is something that
they haven't got currently, yeah? 2 and 3 happened at the same time.
No, no. 3 and 4 happened at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah. So 3 was kind of the first one that, like, 1 and 2 are good films. 3 was not a great film, but
3 is where they realize it's a copycat because no one can actually escape any of the traps.
Yes. Yeah. And it's Amanda. So when 3 came out, I remember walking out and Dad just turned to me and saying, never make me watch another one of those films again. So I was kind of by myself in my Saw love.
Right.
And so that was the year after that was when I went to boarding school. And the whole time I was sitting there being like, and as the new Saw film was coming out, I was like to all my friends there, I was like, hey, you guys excited for the new Saw? And everyone was like, no, fuck, why would I want to watch that?
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like a bit by myself in it. So I spent a lot of time on Saw fan forums, sharing theories, rewatching the films obsessively, coming up with fan theories, all of that. And then Saw 4 came out and I remember going to see it by myself and walking out being like, that sucked. That was so shit. None of the things I wanted to happen happened. And then I just spent the next year on the forums for Saw 5 again. Yeah. And the consequence of that was that I think I spoiled Saw 4 and 5 completely for myself because I was just so obsessed with reading what the fans were saying and everything and finding out, like, if, you know, if this was the film when Dr. Gordon finally came back, or if we were going to find out what happened to Detective Eric Matthews or whatever. And then the consequence of that was that by the time Saw 6 came out, I was kind of fed up with that whole thing. So I kind of stopped doing it. And then I really enjoyed Saw 6. So I walked in there and that kind of put me back in that for Saw 7. And then when Jigsaw came out this year, I kind of found myself, there was a point where I looked at my phone and I was like, Jigsaw Reddit was like the most searched item on my phone, like in the last couple of weeks.
You've relapsed.
I totally regress. And I spoiled most of Jigsaw for myself.
Right.
Because I was reading Reddit fan theories because somehow Saw 4, which was the one I was most obsessed for, came out, or in the lead up to, came out in 2007. That was 10 years ago. I literally regressed to 15, 16-year-old me when Jigsaw came out. Yep. And then Jigsaw came out and upset me as much as Saw 4 did in 2007.
And that's
so I guess we all just
go in cycles. Yeah.
Do we ever really change? Probably not.
Probably not. And that's the interesting thing, because toxic fandoms, ultimately, they're toxic to everybody. They're even toxic to the person who's feeling this way.
How the fuck can you enjoy your fandom when you're so busy getting angry about how someone pronounces a wizard's name in Harry Potter?
Yeah. Where is that enjoyment coming from?
You are not any of the houses. You're a squid.
And just to go back to the internet thing, like, I think there's two issues with it. One is that there was always those people who were kind of like, would tell people how much more they knew about a certain thing. And they used to be sort of isolated to their little friend groups or whoever would listen to them. But now
they
get
to
reach
across
the internet.
They could only talk within like a 10-meter radius because they would run away.
So they'll most people be like, oh, I don't really care what you have to say, and walk away. But now they can reach across the internet and tell somebody they're wrong.
Yeah,
like anybody, really.
It legitimizes the one downside of the internet is that the upside is it connects so many people to so many other people, and it fosters communities for people who enjoy, like, so, you know, when you were lonely at boarding school, and I'm not being an arsehole here. I'm genuinely saying you had
aren't
a group.
You, Tom? You know, this is a very special
when you were lonely
thing for me,
and friendless at boarding school,
and the Saw movies was your only source of joy or happiness. Don't know what that says about you. No, I know exactly what that says about you. But
you read into that whatever you want. But no, what I mean is that you found a community of people that you could talk to about like-minded things.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
You wouldn't have been able to do.
Which is amazing.
And like, this is the only sort of forum engagement I've participated in was Pokemon. And I'm not one of those people. So there are people who like Pokemon. Like Pokemon.
Right.
And I'm not. I like I like giving my Pokemon fun nicknames. And there's a bit of planning into what I catch and what I train up and stuff, but I don't do the kind of breed Pokemon specifically to have this ability and this moveset. Like, that's just not, it's never been, that's the factor for me to do it. But I used to engage with, you know, forums talking about that kind of stuff, and I used to ignore that stuff, and I'd go to other forums, and you filth your way through it. But it allows you to connect to other people and learn different techniques and strategies and like-minded. And that's the bonus. The downside is it also allows all of the know-it-all dickheads.
Yep.
Right. So imagine you have a lot of villages, and in every village, there is a village idiot. Now they can all fucking talk to one another in a special village idiot forum and then share those ideals with you.
Right.
And then, fuck, you might elect one president of the United States by accident. But to be fair, it's that thing of it in one, on one hand, it does connect and allow communities to communicate and talk and do that kind of thing. But the flip side and downside of that is it gives a legitimate platform to opinions and voices who otherwise should have and would have been denied legitimacy.
Yes. And it gives them more confidence in that opinion because they know there's this field of dickheads behind them agreeing with them.
It's like why the fuck? We have Nazis in 2017. Right. How the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, you're right. Every Nazi in every little town who kept that little Nazi secret to themselves have now all talked through the internet, and they're like, no, we're here. We want our voice to be heard.
Correct.
You don't
put black people in Star Wars, you pieces of shit.
Right.
But then the one good thing there is that because you then also have people on the good side of the argument, is they can work to try to support those people who may find themselves on the receiving end of a toxic exchange or a toxic fan. So that, you know, in the weird, terrible example of us teaming up with you, Gabe, to take down those Suicide Squad loving dickheads, like, we shouldn't have engaged because it was dumb.
Right.
But we were able to, and we were able to support you. I'm not condoning that you should do that because you can't win that argument when you're dealing with those kinds of people.
This is like a straight-up case of do as we say, not as we do, because that was fucking dumb.
Right.
It was do what Dusha would do, which is don't engage.
Probably one of the only instances in which I'd say do what Dusha would do, but definitely.
That's how I live my life. I think what would Dusha do?
WDDDDDDD. That's too many Ds.
That's way too many Ds.
Oh, dear.
That's the thing. And like for what you're talking about with these people who sort of self-proclaim themselves the judge on whether someone else can call them a fan or not, which I read this really great term. It might have been that article you shared where they like geek gatekeeping.
That's it. And I cannot remember who it was from. And it's doing my head.
It was on Junkie, but I can't remember who
wrote
it.
There you go. Junkie. Yeah. So, and again, I'm really sorry. I cannot remember the author's name, but it was a brilliant article.
Yeah. Have you ever had someone try to geek gatekeep to you on one of your fandoms?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not too much because, again, I'm a white middle-class straight man.
Right.
So the fact that I enjoy things.
You have to waltz on through.
Oh, yeah. I can get through life fucking pretty easily. But I've definitely had people tell me that, oh, you know, you're not into it enough, or that's not how it is, or it'd be better if you... You know, the example is the sort of the Pokemon thing. I've had people be like, oh, that's not really, you know, why would you play like that? It's like, oh, you know.
Because it's fun?
I like naming my Pokemon with full normal people names sometimes.
Trevor.
I literally on my current game have a Pokemon whose name is Helen Green.
I did an article for Den of Geek recently about Hannibal. And I had somebody comment, it was like the first comment on the article being like, wow, it's pretty obvious that the writer of this article doesn't understand Hannibal at all.
Oh.
And I was like, I had this moment of being like, fuck you, I'm going to. And then I was just like, hang on. Why do I care?
Right.
Like, why do I care what this person thinks? Like, anybody who knows me.
Would you talk to a fart in a bag?
No.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was it. And I didn't respond. I was just like, I kind of looked at it for a moment. And I was like, and I had this kind of surge of offended, like, fuck you, I know Hannibal, like back to front, which I do. I think anybody who knows me knows that I do, probably on an unhealthy amount.
Yeah.
But I kind of had this moment that I was like, hang on. I actually don't care what this person thinks.
Yeah.
I made my argument. You've read it the way you want to read it. Because, because like basically what this person's issue was that my article was kind of based not really around the Hannibal and Will relationship.
Okay.
And it was kind of based more around like Hannibal and Clarice and the broader things and the fact that like I just – anyway. And they basically were saying the whole thing's about Hannibal and Will, the whole series about Hannibal and Will, this that's the only important thing. And I was like, there's actually a lot more to the broader mythos of this series.
Yes.
It's called Hannibal, not Hannibal and Will. Like,
right.
I was kind of like, okay, that's cool. Like, you know what? That's your interpretation of the show. That's how you see it. Mine is different. And you know what? That's okay. I don't need to argue that with you.
Exactly.
Because honestly, if I don't respond to you, you're just yelling into the void.
Yeah. And again, you're both entitled to your opinions and his opinion doesn't change anything to do with yours.
And that's not to say that debate is bad or that we shouldn't debate or argue because honestly, why are we on this show debating and arguing our opinions about things that we're passionate about right. is a hell of a lot of fun.
We do.
Yes. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, like you know, when we had the argument about Rogue One, in less argument, more me just yelling at you while you trembled in the corner with the backup of Carney.
I'm getting flashbacks.
But like when we had that, like we left that episode, like we didn't leave that episode being like, I'm not fucking talking to you,
right.
we disagreed about a film, and we got angry at each other about disagreements of a film. We left that episode being like, oh yeah, cool, now we'll just have a beer and chat about something else. Because
exactly.
like, 'cause at the end of the day, it's like our opinions have on films and stuff have precious little to do with who we are as people or why we relate to each other or why we get on or any of that stuff. It's just, at the end of the day, a movie's just a movie. Like,
right.
Do you know what's the weirdest culture, fan, geek, franchise thing that I have been trying, like someone has tempted to like knock me back from because I enjoyed something of it and they didn't, was The Muppets.
Okay. Right.
You don't think The Muppets would be something that people could be dickheads about, but I remember I'd bought a book, right, by Jim Henson, literally about the art of the Muppets, because I love the Muppets.
Yeah.
And the new film, the Jason Segel one that had just come out, and I'd really enjoyed it because it did a lot of it was very much about the old school Muppet Show TV show.
Right.
And I was like, yes, I have like 4 seasons of it on DVD. I watched it on VHS as a kid. Like, I love the Muppets.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, I really enjoyed that movie. Anyway, I bought this book at the bookshop, and the guy selling me the book was at a comic book shop in Melbourne. Not the good one.
Mm.
Not All Star. Those guys are the best.
There's
a little plug for them.
There you go.
At another place.
Free
and
comics.
I bought this book, and the guy behind the counter was like, oh, yeah, you really like that. And we started talking about the Muppets. I was like, great. I can talk about the Muppets with the guy behind the counter. He's like, oh, have you seen the new film? I said, yeah, I have.
Mm.
He's like, what'd you think? I was like, I really, really enjoyed it. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess so. I did think you were a true fan. And I was like, oh,
true fan. I'm like, what
the fuck?
And he's what does that mean?
He's like, you know, like I've watched a lot of it, and it's very derivative and stuff like that. He's like, you know, you'll read this book and you'll understand that it's not something that true fans of the Muppets really enjoyed. And I was like, that's fucking weird, right? You just sell me the fucking book. I bought the book, read the book, watched the movie again. Stand by my original opinion.
Good.
But how weird is that? Super weird.
It's really strange.
And like the thing with toxic fandom is it's almost. It's the geeks that were bullied have turned into the bullies.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, they cannot see the irony of the position they're in.
It's disgusting. Like, it's honestly terrible. And I think it generally comes from, they're overcompensating. It's like you see a guy come in and he's got 3 Superman tattoos because that's who he is. I'm the guy with 3 Superman tattoos. And then he goes to a convention and there's 10 other people with 3 Superman tattoos. And all of a sudden he feels like he's less of who he thought he was. You're not. There's just 10 other guys with 3 Superman tattoos. That's okay.
They're like you. Go be friends with them.
Yeah. If anything, you're going to get along great.
Yes.
You've just found 10 new buddies.
Well, I guess like there's always this. I mean, this isn't like to do with necessarily like movies and stuff. Like I've been to quite a few Bruce Springsteen concerts. And
have you?
Yes, I have. And the thing about it is like, you know, you go to them and there are. And like I've been sort of on like Facebook groups and stuff, like, you know, looking for extra tickets and stuff like that and like checking out what set lists and everything. And I consider myself like a really big Bruce Springsteen fan. But there's always this sense when I go to the concerts, when I turn up there and I'll sort of talk to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, you're going to be down in the pit, like right at the front. And I'm like, no, I'm sitting up in the seats. And they're like, oh, okay. And it's not like they don't say, oh, you're not a true fan or anything, but there's this sense of like, oh, well, or then like I remember meeting somebody once who like had been to the concert the same week as me.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, yeah, how good was the second one? But when he sang that in the first one, I was like, oh, I only went to one of them. And he goes, Oh, okay. And I'm like, well, on the one hand, like I just don't have that much money to go to. Like, but then there are Springsteen fans who like literally save up for his tours and go to every concert around the country.
Right.
Like, and follow him pretty much around the country and everything.
That's
awesome. I would love to do that.
But don't look down at people who can't do
that. I don't have the money. And on top of that, like, I can't afford it. And ultimately, when all is said and done, like as much as I love Bruce Springsteen, and believe me, like, you know, I kind of feel like when I'm sitting there listening to his music, being amazingly moved by it, reading his book, like on the verge of tears because what he says is so fucking beautiful and loving his work. I don't think that experience can ever be denigrated by the fact that I'm not in a position to sort of, I guess, enjoy him as thoroughly as you, even though I kind of feel like I do.
Yes.
And I mean, like, as much as I would love to, like, you know, fork out every extra cent I've got and, like, follow him to 2 different concerts, like, yeah, I've seen 1 3-hour concert. That was amazing. That was great. But, like, I also kind of want to eat this week. And I also have other things that I'm into as well.
Yeah.
Like, I have other things I want to do. And it's like, yeah, cool. I'll make an allowance of my time and money to celebrate this fandom and do this thing and everything. And I want to be a part of that.
Right.
But, like, I also am a human being who has, like, a life and a lot of things going on. And, like, unfortunately, I just can't devote that much time to something.
And no one deserves to be criticized for not meeting your quota of what you think they should be.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Who died and made you king of the fandom?
Exactly right. And I wanted to ask, I was even thinking more in relation to sports. So obviously you're a Geelong supporter, you love your footy.
Yep. I'm taking this chance again.
Okay. And you go to the footy, and I've had this where I've gone to the footy and I'm a Hawks supporter and I've been with all the Hawks supporters, and there's been some just monster asshole behind me being just a fucking menace and just ruining the game for me. And I'm thinking, if you're a subset of the Hawks supporters, do I want to be a Hawks supporter when you're representing all of us?
Yeah. It's that weird thing of like, it's like I am a crazy Geelong supporter.
Yeah.
And so my fiance is a Geelong supporter as well.
Right. That helps.
But she's not as crazy as I am about it. Like, I literally have two football jumpers, like Guernseys. I wear one two games and wear one when I watch them at home on TV.
Okay. Right? That's cute.
That's the level of absurd. I have a pair of shoes I wear to every game. Right.
How long have you had these shoes for?
Since 2009 grand final.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. But she enjoys it. She likes going to the footy. We like going together. Do I know more of the players' names than she does? Yes.
Hmm.
Do I know more of the different kind of things on the players' names of other teams?
Yeah.
Yes. I love football differently to the way she loves football.
Right.
She doesn't enjoy it any less. When Geelong win games and it's a close game, she doesn't get any less excited.
Hmm.
Like, when we're at that, speaking of the Hawks, we're at that game where Dangerfield hurt his leg and came back out and like kicked fire the best. Her enjoyment wasn't lessened by that. But I know people who'd be like, well, if you can't name every captain since 1972, you are not a true supporter.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. The one thing I won't say is someone who like changes teams when their team's doing shit and then jumps back on the bandwagon.
Yeah, that's a different thing altogether. Yeah. Arguably not a fan. Yeah.
But there's no. In sport, there is that kind of weird representation of you when you have bad supporters. But I will say this: when there are bad supporters, generally the good supporters will very, very, very loudly and very quickly go, "Nah, we've got nothing to do with them." Just letting you know, nothing to do. So, you know, when the whole Adam Good stuff happened, and Gabe's no idea what's going on here.
I'm glazing.
We'll pull you back in a sec. But when all that stuff happened, I was proud to be like, no, I'm a football supporter who can proudly say that, no, I'm never going to boo Adam Goods because he's Indigenous or because he won Australian of the Year and because he threw an imaginary spear at the crowd on, I don't know, an Indigenous game where he did an Indigenous celebration.
Ultimately because he's proud of his heritage.
That's fucking weird. Anyway, so like that kind of thing is that you find that sports fans are pretty quick.
Mm.
And that's the positive, I guess, of online communities is that people are pretty quick to isolate dickheads.
Yes. And to bring Gabe back into it.
Oh.
So like when there is something that you are such a strong fan of and there's this, you know, 5%, 10% representation of assholes who ultimately do have the loudest voices, does it sort of ruin it a bit for you? Does it lessen your...
Do you know what? In a way, I sometimes feel bad for liking Rick and Morty because I'm like, feeding those dickheads. But I like the show and I like
it's
Dan Harmon.
It's a clever show. It's well written.
And I'm like, every time I'm like, oh no, it's really clever. I'm like, fuck, do I sound like one of those dickheads? He's like, no. You've really got to know about quantum physics and nihilism to really get it.
You're like, no, they've got like fart jokes in there. It's fine. Yeah. Just chill out.
I have to admit that there are times where if I see a fandom being a bit bad about something I care about, there is a part of me that's like, ooh, that hurts a bit.
I think the truth is though that in the end, your enjoyment will win out because like I find it's like with the whole Springsteen fan thing. Like sometimes people like that, and I have those conversations, and it almost like ignites this insecure thing in me where I'm like, wait, maybe I'm not a big enough fan. Maybe I should do more of that.
Right.
Maybe I should have saved up money. Maybe I should be in the front. Maybe next time I should be in the front. And then like the first Springsteen concert I went to, I was up in the rows.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe I should be. And then I was in the mosh pit and it fucking sucked. I was in there and I'm getting jostled for all angles. I'm like, dude, you're not at Rage Against the Machine. You're at Bruce Springsteen. Just enjoy the fucking music.
And
the next time
music.
I went and sat back up in the seats because I was like, I had a better time up there.
Yeah.
If you're right down at the front.
That's right. You're entitled to enjoying it your way.
Exactly. And you know, and that's just what it is. And then ultimately, like, it maybe it's kind of like, you know, my neurotic sort of, oh my god, maybe I should enjoy this way, maybe I'm not being a fan, maybe I should, like, have I fucked up here? But then I'm like, actually no, at the end of the day, like, you can't take away the experience I had or the enjoyment I have. And like one thing, you know, Harry Potter is a fandom that I wouldn't call toxic in the same way Rick and Morty is, but I find the Harry Potter fandom supremely irritating. Like the amount of
there is 100% toxic people in Harry Potter, of course.
But like it's just the amount of like particularly the 10 year anniversary and they all came out of the woodwork like with all the BuzzFeed articles being like 10 times you know Professor McGonagall was the best or 10 times J.K. Rowling
is the best.
She is the best. She's the best character in the series. But just this kind of insipid sort of, you know, anyway, and all the gifts from the movies. And by the way, the movies aren't that good. The books are amazing. The movies are not very good.
Can I say, rewatching them, the first three films, when you watch them, because they've been on TV recently.
Right.
Watching the first three films, you go, man, they really got the wobbles later.
Yeah.
The closer they stuck to the books, the stronger those films were.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
So I think like when around the kind of, I was kind of grappling with this around the Cursed Child, Fantastic Beast time, where it'd been a long time since I'd reread Harry Potter. I don't think I'd reread it since high school.
Yeah.
Hadn't really watched the movie since the last one came out. And I kind of like just found myself getting not embittered towards Harry Potter, but kind of just a bit sick of hearing about it. Just being a bit like, fucking hell, was Harry Potter really that good? Anyway, long story short, I reread the books this year. Yeah, it really is that good.
It really
and
is.
Of course you reread it. And it's like, fuck, it is amazing. I love these books. They meant a huge amount to me growing up. They still mean a huge amount to me now.
Hmm.
And the fact that so many other people enjoy it and enjoy it in a more vocal and irritating to me way,
that
doesn't matter.
No,
like, it doesn't affect my enjoyment. It doesn't change the fact that these are brilliant books that mean a lot to me.
Yes.
You know?
Do you know, it's one of those things where it's incredible that, like, everyone knows what house they're in.
Huh. Yeah.
Like, isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
So when I was over in the States, we went to Universal Studios and that's where the Harry Potter world is. Mm. I was walking through there and I was like, I am this close to crying. I'm a 26-year-old man, but I've been waiting for this since I was 10. And that's, I think, where some of that absurd nostalgia factor is.
Right.
And look, you get those guys like, look, I will take irritating BuzzFeed articles about how Snape's a good guy, even though he's a piece of shit.
Over the other side of it. Unquestionably.
Course, every time.
Unquestionably.
But again, that level, like exactly like you said, someone enjoying it in an annoying way to me doesn't actually ruin my enjoyment of anything
at all. I think it's what I want to talk about is like more when it's a matter of like just being inundated with that so much.
Absolutely.
You haven't actually been exposed, I guess, directly to the source in so long, it becomes easy to kind of be like, oh, wait, was it that good? Or this? And then you do and you're like, and then the moment you reread them, you're like, oh, the magic's back. But it is just that fucking good.
Yeah. But that's the difference between someone like us or like a normal person who, oh, that's really annoying. They're annoying and they're enjoying it in a way that annoys me.
Hmm.
You then step back, either reread it or step back and go, and okay, cool.
And yes, so
they
what?
Enjoy it differently to the way I enjoy it. That's fine,
Fine. Like, in
that's
the end, it's
absolutely
it just,
fine.
I think at the end of the day, enjoying something is a great thing that we should all do. And if you're a perpetually negative person, it's like, that was shit. Like, just enjoy stuff. Stuff's good. I love stuff. But like,
other people enjoy stuff. And even if you don't enjoy the stuff.
Mm. And people, the amount of times people have like, you know, given me, people who I've worked with and stuff give me shit about being so, like, I remember like working at Dracula's and like, you know, going on and on about Bruce Springsteen or about a playwright I really liked or something, and seeing the people I worked with kind of like looking at each other with these like grins that said very clearly they're going to laugh about this later behind my back and stuff like that. And then at first I was kind of like, oh, wait, maybe I should shut up. Then I'm like, hang on. I'm never going to apologize for being a passionate person. Ever.
Yeah.
I'm never going to apologize for that because all it means is that like I take passion and enjoyment and love from the stuff that I consume.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's a really good thing. And I think that's something we should all do because there's enough shit stuff going on in the world that we might as well embrace the stuff that is good and that makes us feel good. However, don't be a cunt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that.
Right.
I think just to tie that off and to go back to at the start, we were saying if anyone who listens to this podcast and has made it through this far and hasn't just turned off in anger because they think we're wrong, is, you know, if you as a kid watched Harry, right, grow up, and like, I'm not going to lie, you're probably going to be a white dude. If you saw Harry grow up and you were sitting there going, how cool is it that someone like me is on screen. Now, just remember the magic and the awesomeness that you felt reading or seeing a depiction of someone like you. Now, imagine that you're like a young girl or a young Egyptian guy or a young Indian dude, and you suddenly see like Aziz Ansari in a film, or you see Oscar Isaac in a film, or you see the cast of Black Panther. And imagine never having seen, remember how you felt the first time you saw that. Now put that yourself in someone else's shoes. They're feeling that exact same thing. Do not rob them of that fucking amazing feeling by being this asshole. Cause it doesn't help you.
No.
Because guess what? At the end of the day, they're going to have a really good fucking time anyway.
Mm.
So you should too.
And you're not.
No.
Yeah. Because ultimately that whole approach to things, all you're doing is taking.
Mm.
Yep. You're not benefiting anything. Even if your voice in some magical way is loud enough to stop this, great. You still get what you want.
Mm.
And you've just taken away from somebody else. Like, you're not making yourself happy. You're not making anybody else happy. You're just being a shit person.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Damien.
I've been Handsome Tom.
I've been Gabe.
And if you have any thoughts, ideas, comments, please let us know. You can send us an email at moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com, or you can find us at Twitter at @mmsanspants, or on our individual Twitters. I'm @MittDayPajamas.
I'm @AwkwardTreed.
I'm @GoldbergMoser.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at sanspantsplus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's sanspantsplus.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.